John chapter 4 is where we're at today. Again, it's good to have some ladies visiting with us from our old church, Fairpont. Good to see Karen and Sarah and Lillian. And they were a blessing and a joy over there. And they just were craving to see me. Probably not. They came. You see, they're sitting with her. They're not up here standing with me. So, before I read something, I wanted to share something real quick. The other day, I took a potato and I stuck it in the microwave, closed the door, and hit pizza. When it dinged, I opened it up, and it was still a potato.
What's up with that?
Now, I'm saying that because somebody would think, well, that's kind of a, is he joking? Is he that stupid? I can read your expressions. And so I wanted to understand that I was joking, all right? I'm not that dumb. But I started thinking, sometimes we do things and why would we expect that potato to turn into a pizza, right? I mean, that's complete nonsense. That we could take a potato, put it in the microwave, hit the pizza button, and open up the that didn't turn into a pizza. You would not ever expect it if you have any right thinking. And yet, a lot of times there are things that we should expect that would be completely transformed and changed, correct? Like if a person is a sinner and they, by faith, call upon Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're not going to be the same any longer, correct? There should be a drastic difference. Just like if that potato would have turned into a pizza, wow, that's quite a change. But we don't have any expectation for that to change at all. But there should be an expectation that if a person professes to be a born-again believer, that there should be a drastic change that has taken place. One that's completely different in nature, just like the potato is completely different than the pizza, though they both start with the P, all right? So as we look at this text here, I want you to notice the setting here. This is a story that you're familiar with. It is a woman who is going to Jacob's well to get water. Imagine this day, if you would. It's like any ordinary day, just like you and I have. She was sound asleep. She had already had her plans the day before, what she was going to have. How many of y'all have plans on what you're planning on doing tomorrow? And you have your schedule figured out. That's what she had. She went to bed that night. The alarm went off that morning. She woke up, had her chores that she was going to be doing. And then she realized, I need to go get water. That's part of my schedule. But I go at a different time than all the other women do. Because all the women went early in the morning while it was still cool. And she went in the afternoon when it would be the hottest. Because of her reputation, she avoided all the other ladies. But imagine she's making all these preparations. She had all this on her daily schedule. She's going to go get water that afternoon, get her load, bring it all the way back into town, and continue on. And yet something happened in her day she never expected. And the same thing, if you have been saved by the grace of God, there was a day that your alarm went off, you began your day, and somewhere through that day, Christ met you. I can remember it was in the afternoon, late afternoon, when I received Christ as my Savior. That was not on my schedule of plans that day, but Christ met me. And I want you to understand that this is an ordinary woman, a troubled woman, a hurting woman who has had a bad background, if you would, in her life. She's been married 4 or 5 times. She's living with a guy now. Most of us would go, I think I'm going to avoid her. And Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. Christ rose up his day, and he had his plans as well. And his plans is always seeking out those that are lost. That's what he said he came to do, right? I come to seek and to save that which was lost. And there was one woman, one vile woman, one troubled and hurting woman. And Jesus went out of his way. Imagine that. God himself went out of his way to let this woman meet him so that he could share living water. He's done that for each of us, and we'll see that this morning. Beginning in chapter 4, verse number 1, notice with me here, if I change my glasses, it's because these are my new ones. I'm not used to them yet, so I may put these ones on because I still see better, all right? So John 1, look what it says, chapter 4, verse number 1, and we're going to read quite a few verses here. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or about high noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou, great question here, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest thou truly. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that the Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this divine appointment that you had with this dear woman, this now eternal sister in Christ of ours. We thank you, Lord, that you saw her need and you went out of your way. It was a great need for you to go through Samaria to reach her and many, many others because of her testimony. Father, just ask that if there's someone here today that you have a divine appointment to meet with for the very first time, that they might drink of the living waters, that they too, Lord, would see that you are the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. And may we, Lord, as we look at Jesus, how he operates, his conversation, his burden, his heart, may we reflect upon that and to see where we are in our walk with you. And we ask, Father, that you'd help us to emulate his manner of being, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had made mention in this text to the disciples as they were journeying. The disciples were assuming that we were going to go, instead of going through Samaria, we were going to take the longer route, we'd go all the way around. Though it took longer, we did not want to go through Samaria. We didn't want to go and mix among the half-breeds, if you would. That's what they were, half Jew, half Gentile. They were considered less than dogs. And the Jews, as it says here, have no dealings with those types of people. You know, that's kind of a sad statement on behalf of the Jews, because many times you and I, as professing Christians, have that same stinking, that's a Greek word, attitude. There are certain people that you and I will not associate ourselves with, and yet Jesus never allowed anything concerning a person's ethnicity or their belief system to keep him from going to speak with them. I mean, if he'd have done that, he'd have knocked off and next out a lot of us that are here today. And so here we see that he says, I must needs go through Samaria. In other words, he's telling the disciples, we're going through Samaria. And they're thinking, what? He goes, it's necessary. When he says, I must needs, he says, this was a necessary thing. It was already established. Listen, Jesus going through Samaria at that on that day, at that hour, to meet that woman was already on God's calendar of events before the foundation of the world. That's what boggles my mind about our God. God has all of this planned out. He knew that she would be there. He knows exactly where the people are to be when he's going to meet them. And it's no mistake. I must need. It's appointed for me to be there. I have to be there and I have to meet with her. Now, I want you to notice with me a couple things here, but I want you to hold your place here in the Gospel of John and go back to 1 John. John writes another book here, and I want you to notice what John says in his epistle here in 1 John chapter 2, because I'm bringing this message over not so much to zero in just on this woman and her need of salvation. I'm bringing us to zero in on Jesus Christ, who is your Savior and my Savior. And I want you to notice what John says in 1 John chapter 2 about Jesus. Look what he says in verse number 6. He that saith he abideth in him. Now stop right there and look up here. How many of you today can declare, I am abiding in Christ? Say amen. Amen. Now with that statement, let's finish reading. Because you just said that you abide in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he, talking about Jesus, walked. For you and I to declare that I abide in Christ, I am in Christ, he says, evidence of your abiding, of that statement being true, is that you and I need to be walking, living the exact same way that Jesus did. That means we have to understand that when we remember the passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He goes on to say, after our salvation, that we are his workmanship, right? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works that were what? Huh?
Foreordained.
So, God says that he met with me in June of 1979. He must meet me, and he had his appointed time to meet me. I drank of the living water. From that point on, I was born again. I received the gift of God. I'm abiding in Christ. And he goes, and he has ordained me unto good works, which he ordained long before. So there's people out there that God wants me to go in his name as his representative and share and minister to them just as he did here in the Gospel of John. Are you with me on this? There are people, in other words, that are a must need for you to talk to. It was a must need for Jesus to speak to this Samaritan woman. And you and I have people that God has placed in our path to be witnesses to. And I am not the one that's supposed to witness to the ones that you are supposed to witness to, vice versa. You have family. You have friends. You have acquaintances. You have co-workers and you have neighbors, all of which God has appointed to be in your jurisdiction, if you would, that God has ordained that you would be as Jesus. Let me ask you, would Jesus witness to your family members? Yes. Would Jesus witness to your co-workers? Would Jesus witness to your neighbor next door or across the street? He says, you, if you abide in him, then you ought to walk even as he walked. You should be doing the same thing in his name. If we're abiding in him. If we're saying that we're Christians, we should be doing it. So, if I'm supposed to walk even as he walked, what kind of walk do we see in John chapter 4? And we could go through all the Gospels and look at all the different accounts from him on the cross and how did he minister to the guy next to him. Nicodemus, how I always love the story of Zacchaeus. That Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He was short in stature, and when Jesus was passing through, he couldn't see. He couldn't see. There was nothing to stand up on. Oh, there he is. He couldn't see. People were taller. He's short. So he could think, he's passing this away. Here's a sycamore tree. He goes and he climbs up into this tree so that he could look down and see. He knew that Jesus was passing that way. He didn't go there because he knew he had an appointment with Jesus. Jesus sent him there, if you would, because Jesus knew I was going to pass that way and we were going to intersect and he was going to say, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. And man, he was there and he was down. But I want you to understand that God was working well in advance before Zacchaeus ever climbed that tree, because God was the one who is the one who creates all things and gives everything life. And God was the one who allowed a seed to fall to the ground or be planted in the ground to plant that tree, so that tree would be big enough by the time Zacchaeus was around to climb up in it to see Jesus, to meet him. He's working out every single detail, folks. He just wants us to go share it with them. You say, well, I just don't know if they're ready. God has prepared situations in their lives. Circumstances are happening in people's lives every single day that is opening the opportunity for you to share the good news. So what do we see? If I want to be like Jesus, I'm going to walk as he walked. How did he walk here in John chapter 4? First off, I want you to understand his walk was a caring walk. A caring walk. Very important that we understand. He says he must needs go through Samaria. I want you to stop and think just for a minute. When you got saved, how many of you remember when you got saved? Raise your hand. How many of you remember where you were when you got saved? Raise your hand. Incredible. Many of you raised your hand. So I remember when I got saved, and I remember where I was at. Jesus had ordained that spot, made that spot holy ground on that day. When you knelt down and bowed your head and you said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, he hallowed that ground right there on that day. He had prepared you to come to that place, and he met you there. And here we see, you know why he met you there? Because he cared for you. I mean, we read Peter. Peter says, casting all of our cares upon him because he what? Cares for you. He cares so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to die for your sins and mine, to be our substitute. Because he's a caring God. His walk was a caring walk. As I made mention, the route that Jesus took here going through Samaria was not the usual route. He could have gone around. He could have bypassed. The Bible says clearly in John 4 that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. None at all. He went out of his way to meet a troubled woman. He went out of his way to meet a troubled woman. And Jesus is wanting us to have a caring walk according to 1 John 2:6. If we are abiding in him, we will walk as he walked. And how much care do we have for those that are around us? Because there's a lot of people today in 2021 who have a troubled life right now, just by the circumstances that are happening in our world. It's a caring walk. You and I need to be more caring, more concerned about the individuals that are around us, that God has appointed to be around us, that we bump into, that we rub shoulders with. He went out of his way. You realize that he went out of his way for you. He went out of his way for you and for me. That's how much he cares. I mean, he left heaven and its perfection and its holiness and its sinlessness to come out of his way to a world that is full of sin, that is completely cursed. The whole creation is cursed. To come down here to seek and to save you. Because he cares. And if you and I are declaring to be Christians, and if we're declaring that we are abiding in him, he says, then you need to walk like I did. My walk was a caring walk. Go out of your way sometimes to be what people need. One of my favorite chapters that I was encouraged years and years ago to memorize was 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's a great chapter to memorize. There's 13 verses there. And I'm not going to go through all of it. And I'm not even going to go into the area of the love part where it talks about verse 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. I want to go to the very first one. The first verse in 1 Corinthians 13 says clearly, though I speak, listen, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I could have great eloquence and have not charity. I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It becomes an annoyance. I want you to understand that caring is more than just talk. Talk is cheap. When I say, how many of you know Christ as your Savior, and we all say amen, how many of you are would say you're abiding in Christ, and you say amen, that is cheap talk. Unless we're showing it in our walk. Correct? Amen. I mean, I can sit there and tell you I'm doing this, this, and this, and this, and if I'm not doing it, I'm just talking. It doesn't matter what I say. Let me see what you do. James even says that. Show me your faith by your works. Don't tell me you're saved. Let me see the evidence that you're saved by going out and doing. Walking as he walked. His walk was a caring walk. He has this prearranged meeting. In other words, a prearranged meeting means when I get up in the morning, and I was listening to a brother the other day, actually it's been a couple months ago, he says, before my feet ever swing out of my bed and touch the floor, he goes, God gave me 10 fingers, and I thank him for 10 things every morning before I ever touch the floor. I thought, well, that's a good thing to do. Because what it's doing is making you conscious of your dependence. And as I get ready to begin that day, do we ever stop to think that if I have these preordained works I'm supposed to be doing, and they usually probably involve me reaching or at least sharing the gospel with others in my daily activities, not something that's been ordered by the church to come to, but my daily activities. That means as I get ready to get up, Lord, you have somebody out there that I'm going to talk to today, and you want me to bring up the topic of living water, the gospel, the good news. And we're letting those opportunities pass right by day after day because we really don't care. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. We are to be looking, consciously looking for those opportunities of those people that God has placed in my life today as we leave here and go home and go out shopping or whatever we do, or this week sometime, we should be looking, Lord, who is it today that you want me to speak with? Help me to care as you care. Let you, your care for those people flow through me. God places needy people in our way when he knows we care. His walk was a caring walk. Number two, and by the way, how's your walk this morning? Is it a caring walk? Number two, we realize that his walk also was a sharing walk. It was a sharing walk. He gave her living water. I like what he does. The first thing he does is he's sitting there. He's already arrived. You know, it's interesting when you think about that. That means Jesus has already arrived and he's waiting for our arrival. He gets there in advance. He sits there. He's on the well. He knows all the history of Jacob's well. He knows Jacob. And he says to the woman as she arrives, and nobody else is around, he starts off by saying, give me drink. You know what that is? I know he was weary. I know he was thirsty. But that was nothing more than a conversation starter. He knew he was going to get around to something that she's coming for water. I'm thirsty. We're bringing something common with both of us, using that as a starter, and then bring it in the spiritual. I tell you what, we as believers have to become so much, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Start thinking the way Christ thinks with the people that he places around us. Find a common need, open it up, and then link it over to a spiritual conversation. And by the way, stay out of spiritual arguments. Did you understand what I just said? You're not to argue with them. Jesus could have got into an argument here. You guys say that we're supposed to worship in Jerusalem, but we say we're supposed to worship here. He could have gotten a big old debate, you know, and got into an argument. He wasn't concerned with winning an argument. He was concerned with winning a soul. Don't get into the arguments. Give me to drink. That was simply a conversation starter or opener that would lead. It led to her salvation. Find an opener of conversation with where you are, with who you're with, and open it with a conversation of something to start it, to bring it into something else. We're getting ready to give this pulpit to Norris Bible Baptist Seminary soon. We have ordered a new pulpit and stuff and matching furniture that will be here around the end of November. I've told you before, this pulpit was used, what used to be, belonged to evangelist Art Wilson. If you never heard or met Art Wilson, you missed out. You missed out. One of the greatest evangelists I ever heard in my lifetime. Great preacher. Great man of God. And he gave an illustration one time that he was flying to a revival meeting and the church was flying him to bring him in. And he goes, they went all out. He goes, they put me on first class. And he goes, I get on the plane and he goes, I've got my briefcase. I got my briefcase. I put it up above. I pull my Bible out. I'm getting ready. I'm sitting down on the tarmac. He goes, and all these business guys are coming in. He goes, I'm wearing my suit and tie. They all come in with their suits and ties on, and they're all sitting in first class. And he goes, they're all getting kind of talking with each other. And he goes, they start serving drinks to these guys. He goes, those little whiskey bottles, you know. These guys are starting to drink before we ever get into the air. And he goes, and they're drinking away. And as people drink, they get louder and louder and louder. And he goes, as we take off, we're up into the air. And he goes, and by the time you get where there's less oxygen, you know, he goes, you get higher. He goes, people get drunker faster and act funnier. And he goes, and they're all up there doing one thing. They're all talking about where they are, who they work for, how much status they have in the company. I mean, he goes, they're just tooting their horns left and right. And he goes, and the alcohol is flowing, and that's just crazy. He goes, I'm just sitting there quietly, listening to all of them. I got my Bible on my lap. And he goes, and they're going on, well, I work for this company, I work for that one. And he goes, I'm thinking, now, Lord, how am I supposed to witness all these guys? He was a caring man, but he was a sharing man. And he goes, and finally he goes, God gave me an opportunity. You always want a God-given opportunity. He says, I'm sitting there. He goes, one of them guys, he goes, one of the loudest ones there, turned over. He goes, well, you haven't said anything. He goes, who do you work for? He goes, he was so loud, everybody in first class got quiet, turned around, looked at me. And he thought, oh, God gave me the opportunity. He goes, so what do you do for a living? You heard of what we do. And he goes, I'm an ambassador. And they're all like, whoa, we all work for these big prestigious companies, but this guy's an ambassador. He goes, to what country? He goes, I'm an ambassador here to the United States of America. Well, where are you coming from? Because an ambassador comes to a foreign land to represent the foreign country. He goes, I come from God, from heaven. And he goes, I opened up my Bible, and he goes, I started reading John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, and he goes, they lost interest very quickly. He goes, but find something is what I'm using. Art Wilson used an illustration of how he sought, was always seeking opportunity. I tell you what, when guys are tooting their horns of who they work for, and all of a sudden you tell them you're an ambassador, they'll stop and listen. And that was his little thing that he used to bring the living water. So be looking for opportunity. Ask God. If we can get into that habit of asking God, Lord, you know where I'm walking today, and I want to walk as you walk. You know who you have ordained that I'm going to meet. Maybe it's this lady checking out at Sam's. Instead of me, which this happened the other day. I went to Sam's the other day, and I usually will go through the checkout cell myself. And as I was getting ready to go to the self-checkout, I looked, because usually the other ones are packed. I looked and I thought, there's nobody that's over at the checkout where they do it. So I thought, I'll just go over there. And I was being lazy that day, amen. And so I took it and pushed it over there, and I let her do it, but it gave me a chance to give her a gospel tract. I didn't get a chance to talk to her because it seemed like right when I got there, all of a sudden, boom, you know. But I was able to give her a gospel tract and ask her if she would please read it, a little bit later. She said that she would. I don't know what will happen with that, but that was a divine appointment. I could have gone right over here, checked myself out, and walked right on out. But God opened up that opportunity. And we need to be conscious of what God is doing with the people He has divine ordained appointments for us to speak with. His walk was a caring walk. His walk was a sharing walk. Whatever you do, find their comfort zone. And then, my friends, what we have to do at that point in time is bring water into the conversation. All right? This woman had come to draw water. It was on her mind. And Jesus takes her to the living water where she'll never, ever thirst again. How long has it been since you have shared Jesus Christ, the living water, with somebody? How long has it been? I did a thing here that if you take a 1 year, 365 days, we have 52 weeks in a year, correct? And if we, in any ordinary week, Sunday service, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, maybe Sunday school class, Wednesday night, on the average, we as a church will sing about 10 hymns a week. Okay, give or take, but say 10 hymns a week we sing together. And we do that for 52 weeks. We have sung 520 hymns. If you take the same 52 weeks and you add three sermons on the average, two on Sunday and one on Wednesday, not counting Sunday school, you'll have set under 156 sermons. You'll have heard 156 Bible messages in 1 year, if that's all you do three times a week, and you'll have sung over 520 hymns in that year. How is that changing you? Because we can go through, now take and multiply those by how long you've been saved. I mean, I've been saved for 42 years. That means I've sung over 21,000 hymns, not counting special meetings and everything else we go to. And I've been under or have preached, combined, 6,500 plus sermons. And if we can hear the Word of God preached week after week, and at the end of that year have heard God's Word 150 plus times and have sung over 500 hymns with all the doctrinal teaching they have in them, and never in that year share the gospel one time, something is wrong.
Amen.
It's the truth. Because there's multitudes of people that God has placed around every single one of us. We have our own personal, we're to be fishers of men. We are to have our own personal fishing pond. God doesn't have you working or living or going where you're at, because that's just all it includes. There are people that you and I come in contact. There's people that Don Stevenson comes in contact that the rest of us will, except for maybe Helen, will ever come into contact with. And He will be accountable for those people, and likewise you, and likewise me. But it begins by understanding 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as, in the very same exact way as Jesus walked. And we see that that walk was a very caring walk. That walk, he was concerned and looking, and he set up himself to be there in the place to meet her. And then it was a sharing walk. Give me drink. That's his opening line. They begin to discuss that, and then he brings in living water. How long has it been? And then lastly, we see that his walk was a burden-bearing walk. A burden-bearing walk. You see, he sat with her. They talked to her in her comfort zone about water. He instructs her about the living water. And then he takes and he says to her, listen, before we go any farther, go call your husband and bring him hither. Go call thy husband. You see, what Jesus is doing, he had the give me to drink conversation opener. Now he's bringing in a situation of what I guess I would consider her hurting place. I believe that everybody that we come in contact has a hurting place. And he knows exactly what it is. And he says, go call thy husband. And she says, I have no husband. He says, and that thou sayest, thou hast answered correctly. He goes, you've had five husbands. You have said, I do, till death do us part, and then you didn't. You said, I do, until death do us part, and you didn't. You said, I do, till death do us part, and you didn't. And God hates divorce. But that's only three times. And you did it a fourth time, and you did it a fifth time, and now you're so afraid of getting in that commitment that you've never maintained. You're not even making that commitment. Now you're living in openness of sin with the man that's not even your husband. I tell you what, if she responded correctly, I perceive you're a prophet. Nobody else could know this. She has this hurting spot, and I believe she is like many, many people who have been hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt. And nobody has cared. Nobody has shared. And so nobody's helping them lift their burden. We're going to actually talk about this in the afternoon service on Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Ye which are spiritual. When you see somebody overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go to restore them, bearing one another's burdens. I believe that she thought that she was too sinful for salvation. Before my dad ever got saved, he said several occasions, I would never go to a church again because it would probably fall in on me. What was he saying? He was thinking about what he had done in his lifetime and of the vile things he knew that were against even God. And he wasn't worthy to come. And yet she would find out something very important that day. No matter how much God knows about you, he still loves you. No matter how many times you have fallen short and done things that God hates, Jesus still loved her. He knew all about her, and he loved her. He's so much different than us. We find out something about somebody and we all of a sudden cut off communication with them. We don't do what we used to do. And I think that there's many people that God has placed in our paths every day, my path and yours, that are in need of grace. They are in need of God's mercy. They have messed up big time, maybe to the point that they don't even think that they're worthy of any of it. And I want to tell you that when everybody, it doesn't matter if you're a Nicodemus, a master in Israel, or you're a thief on the cross who's there for murder and contempt, when you come to the cross, it's all level ground. There's no big guys, there's no small guys, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, whoever you go to, you might share that good news, and it might not be you that sees them come to Christ. Some plants, some water. God gives the increase. You might be on the watering side that day. You might be on the seed planting side that day. But it's up to God. I believe that Jesus still calls thirsty people unto himself. And I believe it would be safe to say that in the day in which we're living, with everything going on, not just locally, but globally, with the pandemic, with the changes that are coming down the pike, and by the way, the $3.5 trillion thing that we're getting, they're getting ready to vote upon, where does that money come from? Hello? It's going to come out of your pocket and mine, and they're already talking that it will be upwards to a 39.6% tax increase. We'll go right on up there. Financial burdens, family burdens, the list could go on. Employment burdens. Everybody is hurting. Everybody needs someone to care and to share and to help bear that burden. And Jesus has said, if you are abiding in me, you're the one. You're the one. The one that I have you bump into, the one that you will work with, the one that you will talk to. It's time to quit excusing that they're not going to be interested. At least give them the opportunity to reject it, amen? If I'm lost, I want somebody to at least give me the opportunity to reject. I don't want that. And Jesus still calls thirsty people to himself. We have to respond to his compassionate call before we can go out and walk in the way he walked. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk. Ought himself also to walk even as he walked. There's a variety of people out there. I think of Mary, the mother of our Savior, declared that he was her Savior. A woman that God would choose to bring forth his son, righteous in his eyes, but needing a Savior. There's people out there that will be needing that from the religious, from Thomas, who doubted. You know, I realize that the majority of people that I have talked to lately are very strong and argumentative. I was telling you to pray for a friend of mine, Mike, last week. He is so angrily attacking when I share stuff with him, and I realize that's usually a sign that something has happened in the past. Hurt people hurt people. Let that one sink in. Hurt people hurt people. There's a lot of hurting people out there, and you say, why are they treating other people like that? Because they've been hurt. And we have to come in and care. We have to come in and share, and we have to be willing to bear their burdens. Whatever it is, let me help you with that one and walk with them. Do you know Christ as your Savior today? Rejoice and praise God. Are you walking as he walked? Is there improvement? Is there need? Let's all stand and we'll close with a word of prayer. If you're saved today, you ought to just thank the Lord in your heart. Lord, thank you for the gift of salvation. I remember that day. I remember that place. Thank you. Now I want you to take a minute as we get ready to go into this week. Who are you going to rub shoulders with? Some of it might be new people you don't even know yet. Some of it might be the same old people that you do every week, and yet they still have never heard you share the living water with them. Are you abiding in Christ today? He said you are. Then he says walk as he walked. God, help me to be more caring and to be more sharing. Our Father, we come before thee. We ask, Father, that you would look down upon us as your vessels. Are we fit for the Master's use? May we right now, Lord, may your Spirit bring to mind people that we'll probably see in the next week, assuming that you don't call us home or them. Lord, help us to purpose in our heart to be conscious about sharing the good news, to be able to have the wisdom to come into a common area and have a simple question to start it up, the opening of it, and then direct us into the spiritual. Help us to care. Help us to share. Help us to walk even as Jesus walked in these days. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.